mowing a house the other day and was weed eating and was backing up, and I was attacked by a frog from the rear and went down. And I told Carolyn this, and she said, you tripped over a frog? It was a ceramic frog. But when I'm doing stuff, I back up and I don't pay attention. So anyway, I thought I'd make it a little bit safer for me anyway. Really wonderful to be able to enjoy the fellowship that we do. One of the reasons I'm sure that God chose for the New Testament church to get together on the first day of every week was not just to do the worship. We can read at home. We can sing songs of praise at home. Take the communion at home. We can send our checks to whoever needs our checks that we think may need some help. We can certainly pray at home. But one of the things the New Testament church devoted themselves to was the fellowship. And we really have a fine fellowship. I was visiting with Yancey, and he was talking about the years he's been here and the different stages you go through. And he was just talking about the fact that there gets a point where you feel really bad if you miss. And I think that's got a lot to do with it, is the people that we are privileged to worship with. And so we're very blessed in them. I have three lessons prepared for this afternoon, but I'm going to go 12 minutes, and I'm just going to give you one of them. there was a point that I wanted to make about opinions that I think we can all relate to. I had a lady came up to me the other night. As a matter of fact, it was at Eric and Lance's little party they had at the Coil Barn. Is that what it's called? The Coil Barn. And she was just talking about how her and her husband had lost three of their friends recently to something. She didn't tell me what the something was, but she did say, you need to go in and get tested. And so I don't know what for. I'm assuming mental illness, since it appeared to be obvious to her. But the thing is, there are a million things we can get tested for, are there not? And if you have symptoms of something, I'm not saying that the wisest thing in the world isn't to go get tested. But isn't it true that, especially when it comes to oddly enough, some of the most serious things in our life, our health, we have an attitude of, I don't know, and I don't want to know. There are countless people in the religious world. That's their attitude. I'm not sure if I'm worshiping right. I'm not sure if I am serving God in the right way. I'm serving Him in a way that pleases me. If there's a different way, I don't know it, and I don't want to know it. And it's kind of that idea of what you don't know can't hurt you. But of course, that's the exact opposite of reality. You know, who would have expected to have been attacked by a ceramic frog? and yet it happened. If I'd have just glanced around, I would have known. But what I didn't know didn't feel very good. It didn't hurt me bad, so far as I know. I was looking at something this past week that really kind of caught my attention. And it was on COVID, of all things. And in October of 2019, about 3 months before they said COVID reared its ugly head, there was a simulation that was attended by some of the most unusual people in the world. It was the Gates Foundation. It was the CIA. It was the Chinese Medical and research. It was the American CDC, and it was Johns Hopkins University, Medical University. And their simulation that they were doing was, what would we do if a coronavirus pandemic spread throughout the world? And I heard that. It's just like, you know, I don't even know. I want to hear any more about that. And I don't know about that. Don't want to hear about it. But the point that they were making, this was on the news. It wasn't American news. It was Australian news, which is where I go for all my American news. And The point they were making is this same group is now getting together, or many of the people that compose this comprise this same group are getting together to have a simulation on what to do if there's a worldwide economic collapse. And again, it was one of those things where, I don't know that I want to know about this. But you can do that in physical things. It may just be people talking. May just be coincidence. Maybe all sorts of things. But when it comes to God's plan of salvation, if your attitude is, I know what I have done, and that's enough. I don't want to know what the Bible says. I don't know that I care what the Bible says. When it comes to worship, same thing. And when it comes to our daily lives, everything that goes into it, people have that idea sometimes. And so this particular passage that I had at one point, and apparently I put away somewhere else. Don't go anywhere. I'm sure it's here. If not, we can talk about how the Cowboys are going to do this year. I actually had everything put together, and then I rearranged my notes. Proverbs 18:2. And this goes back to the opinions we were talking about. A fool finds no pleasure in understanding. Think about that for a moment. A fool finds no pleasure in understanding. A fool is somebody from a scriptural perspective that is morally deficient. In God's eyes, they are somebody who is either lost or somebody who is in danger of being lost. And Proverbs 18:2 says, a fool finds no pleasure in understanding, talking about finding out what God's word has to say and then figuring out how that applies. And he goes on to say, but he delights in airing his own opinions. And that's one of the things that I have noticed through the years when talking to different people about spiritual things, scriptural things. How many people have an opinion on what God will accept that has no bearing on Scripture, but they're convinced of it? And I would even go so far as to say they may be spending as much time on this false premise that they have as they would have been had they been seeking out the will of God and doing that. And it just kind of goes back to this idea of I don't know about this, and I don't want to know about this. And like I say, I can see that for some things, like, you know, I don't want to get a physical and find out everything that's wrong with me so I can figure out what kind of medicines to take. Suppose I ought to, but it makes sense to do so. Don't know that I want to keep up with every bit of the news. As a matter of fact, I kind of like avoiding most of the news. But when it comes to your eternal salvation, a fool finds no pleasure in understanding. This is somebody who's going to be lost forever. And so it goes back to this idea that our thoughts are not on the same level as God's thoughts, and our opinions do not ever overrule His. Isaiah chapter 55 in verse 6. Seek the Lord while He may be found. Call on Him while He is near. Remember what James says about the demons? They believe. You believe there's one God? Good. He says, the demons believe and they shudder. Seek the Lord while He may be found. Call on Him while He's near. It's too late for the demons. Let the wicked forsake his way and the evil man his thoughts. Let him turn to the Lord and He will have mercy on him, and to our God and He will freely pardon. And this is the part that I think is so important. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. And again, He is not for a moment condemning thought. We are to meditate on the Word of God day and night. It's important that we think. But when our thoughts overrule God's, or we put them on the same level, and then we treat them like opinion. Have you ever been studying with somebody and you'll just read something out of the scripture and they'll say, Well, that's your opinion. It's like, well, it's not my opinion. It's a command from God's word. But it is kind of enlightening to think about it when somebody says something like that, because it shows them that when they read the word of God, they will look at that very often as opinion. It was written by men, but it was inspired by God. Otherwise, it would be absolutely worthless to read other than as a philosophical textbook. The Bible is the Word of God, or it's nothing. It's less than nothing. It's dangerous if it's not the Word of God. But we believe it's the Word of God. And so since it's the Word of God, then we have God's commands, His instruction, and His advice, and then our opinions. And what we need to do is we need to bring our opinions in line with His thoughts, or we're in danger of being lost. In Proverbs chapter 15 and verse 26, it says, "The Lord detests the thoughts of the wicked." It's been a couple years ago now, but I nearly ran us off the road. It wasn't my fault. It was Carolyn's fault, and it was Rebecca's fault, and it was Charisse's fault, because they had given me some French fries, and they did not tell me that those French fries had come in contact with ranch. And ranch, I'm pretty sure, is that King James Version phrase, superfluity of naughtiness. There's something, it's poison anyway. And when I got that and I put it in my mouth and I realized instantly that there's poison in my mouth, I reacted properly. They say I overreacted and nearly ran us off the road. Point is, I detest ranch. The Lord detests the thoughts of the wicked. He doesn't just think, oh, that's bad. He detests our thoughts when we're wicked. And so if we're wise, we'll go to the second half of this that says, but those of the pure are pleasing to Him. God wants us to read His Word. He wants us to appreciate it. He wants us to think about it deeply. He wants us to figure out exactly what it means. And then to the best of our ability, He wants us to do it. And if we'll do that and our thoughts, which are required, are pure, then we'll be pleasing to Him. Or we can be detestable. We get to choose. Invitation's open. If you need to respond to the gospel's call, we would encourage you to do that while we stand and sing.